From inessa.hughes@goochandhughes.com. Sent 10th of February 2016, 11:41:24. To susan.nordline@nordlinevinter.co.uk. Subject, Origami by Kim Trebek. Dear Susan, I'm thrilled to be sending you the latest and, we hope, final incarnation of Origami by our wonderful Kim. Yes, I'm afraid she's still determined to call it that. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. I have put your case to her as eloquently as I know how, but she refuses to entertain the idea of calling it Kim Peculiar, Kim Ha Ha. She is of the view that it's undignified, and I must admit I can see her point. I don't know if people in France or Japan ask one another if something is funny, peculiar, or funny, ha ha. Do you think they do? It feels very English to me. I suspect it's a title that would travel badly, and since Kim is one of the few British comedians of her generation who's starting to make a real impact internationally, I'd like her book's title to have broader appeal. And as Kim pointed out, and of course she's quite right, she's hardly a ha-ha kind of comedian. She's far too dark and subtle for that, and endlessly under fire from the why-can't-you-just-tell-funny-jokes brigade. To put ha-ha in her title would, I fear, give rise to a few ha-ha, there's not a single good punchline in the book sort of reviews. I also think this book will sell not because it's a comedian's memoir, a flagging genre, I suspect, but because it's essentially a true crime book, the story of Kim's involvement in the Billy Deadmate's murder investigation. For this reason, I wonder whether we might do better with a title that sounds more crime-ish. I think I can persuade Kim to relinquish her cherished Origami if you will, at your end, agree not to mention Kim Peculiar, Kim Ha Ha again. What about something referencing Billy and his books directly? The Billy Dead books? Or is that too oddball? Since the book will form the basis of Kim's tour later in the year, and I'm afraid the tour is called Origami, whatever the name of the book ends up being, we will need at some point to talk about a special edition of the book to be sold only at Kim's gigs, perhaps with some extra content. I've attached a full list of our tour dates as requested. I think that's all for now. I'm on the very edge of my seat and likely to bounce off it in excitement as I await your reaction to this stunning book. Warmest regards, Inessa. Kim Trebek in Origami. Autumn 2016 tour dates. Newcastle Theatre Royal, 2nd of September. Newcastle Metro Radio Arena, 3rd of September. York Grand Opera House, 4th of September. Harrogate Royal Hall, 5th of September. Scarborough Spa, 10th of September. Durham Gala, 11th of September. Huddersfield Town Hall, 12th of September. Southend Cliffs, 13th of September. Wimborne Tivoli, 19th of September. Stoke Regent Theatre, 20th of September. Coventry Warwick Arts Centre, 21st of September. Nottingham Playhouse, 22nd of September. Warrington Parr Hall, 23rd of September. Ipswich Regent, 29th of September. Scunthorpe Baths Hall, 30th of September. Folkestone Lees Cliff Hall, 1st of October. Birmingham Genting Arena, 2nd of October. Bournemouth International Centre, 5th of October. Stevenage Arts and Leisure Centre, 8th of October. Aylesbury Waterside Theatre, 9th of October. Hayes Beck Theatre, 10th of October. Chatham Central Theatre, 11th of October. Northampton Durngate, 16th of October. London Southbank Centre, 17th of October. Cambridge Corn Exchange, 18th of October. Aberdeen Music Hall, 24th of October. Dorking Halls, 29th of October. Swindon Wyvern, 30th of October. Carmarthen Lyric Theatre, 31st of October. From Origami by Kim Trebek. For Elaine Hopwood, the mother I never met but always loved. Chapter 1. My tip for anyone under scrutiny from the police: as soon as you try to hide something, you make it glaringly visible, like the buildings and bridges that are sometimes wrapped in white cloth by artists, making everyone stare and point at them. pull off the cloth and you've got an unremarkable office block or a congested commuter route across water. People walk past with their heads down, oblivious. Tell the police the truth, immediately and in detail, all your sleazy lies, all your unsavoury personal habits, and no one will pay a scrap of attention. It's kind of obvious. When you hide, people seek. Whereas when you talk about something that matters to you, no one listens. Ever. This is the main way in which human beings are reliable. Standing before detectives, I decided straight away that I mustn't appear to be a mystery. For as long as I was one, there was a danger I'd look like one. So when I first went to the police, I held up my secret and waved it around ostentatiously, like an ID card in a wallet. Here's my secret, now let me pass. I wouldn't have minded, except I only had the one. A solitaire. It wasn't even current, it was the memory of a secret. Nevertheless, it was my most treasured possession and my best friend. I've had human best friends in the past, they're overrated. I preferred my secret to my home, my work, my remaining blood relatives. Giving it up was a significant sacrifice. I don't regret telling the police the truth. To do anything but reveal all would have been daft. As a real person, I understand this. Only fictional characters in TV crime dramas think, here come the cops investigating a series of brutal slayings. I better tie myself in elaborate knots to make sure they don't find out I watched a pirated movie in 1997. Who cares if it hampers their efforts to prevent the garrotting with piano wire of yet another apple-cheeked schoolboy? Just nobody mention the English patient. I know nothing about that. I've never seen a burnt English guy in a hospital bed in my entire life, I swear. The TV crime drama police are just as puzzling in their behaviour as the civilians they interview, aren't they? The minute they twig something's being kept from them, they launch into their passionate, "We, the detectives, don't care about most crimes routine. Look, sir, we're investigating a murder here. That's all we care about, catching this killer. We don't give a toss if you've parked illegally or partaken of the contraband English patient video. Just tell us what you know about this murder. If you've curb-crawled or lied about your age to buy booze or ciggies, we're very chilled about that. Drugs? Do me a favour. Shoplifting, carjacking, all fine with us. Have you mugged an old lady, leaving her with severe head injuries? Try not to bore us, yeah? Like we could give a shit about some irrelevant old boiler." Despite being employed to keep society safe from harm, we only actually want to solve one crime. We've decided, for some peculiar reason that is never elaborated upon, that none of the others count. We're the police equivalent of a lollipop lady who's determined to usher one kid safely across a road, while ignoring the dozens falling under the wheels of SUVs nearby. Tell you what, I'll cut you a deal. Give me something, anything, that'll take me one step closer to catching this killer, the only criminal on the planet I care about, even though that's utterly irrational, and I'll grant you immunity for all your other crimes, like the baby you strangled and the fire you started in which 8 nurses died. I still can't risk telling the truth, thinks the narcissistic suspect with no sense of perspective. I've been assured by the most eminent superintendent in the land that I could have melted my neighbour in a cauldron of boiling wax and he'd totally let me off. But there's still no way of predicting how annoyed he might be about the whole English patient thing. Nope, that's a tough one to call. Better play it safe and say nothing. In my first real-life experience of this kind of situation, I gleaned a perverse satisfaction from giving up my shocking secret straight away. Truth is, I felt a little bit ashamed to be involved with the police in the role of boring goody-two-shoes, who'd done nothing wrong, so I decided to try and annoy them. A detective's job is to ferret out what people are hiding, so how irritating must it be for them when someone's opening gambit is, "Let me tell you everything." Imagine how furious Jamie Oliver would be if he opened his oven on Christmas Day and found a perfectly cooked turkey with all the trimmings in there that someone else had prepared earlier. It must be like that, I shared my solitary secret with the detectives investigating the Billy Deadmates murders as if it were a great gossipy anecdote. It was. I said, I don't know where to start. Oh, wait. Yes, I do. And laughed. There was only one place I could start. In the middle, in every sense, with a symbolic object that stood at the centre of it all, a solid barrier between one half of my life and the other. An unpainted wooden door with a silver handle. Tuesday, the 6th of January, 2015. Ring pull. I think the word as I swallow the object. It happened too quickly.